Maybe. Yes, sir!
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents...
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
The Golf Show.
I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Welcome to the Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM WSBT, brought to you by Blackthorn Golf Club and Notre Dame's Warren. I'm Darren Pritchett on the road with the South Bend Cubs, but back in our WSBT studios, my pals Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn, and John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren. I don't know if it's mutual, but I do call you my pals.
Oh, we consider you our pal.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Something?
Yep. That's one
something
word
like
for
that.
It. Yeah.
Well, I'm the one that bring you all these extra paychecks every week, so you kind of like me during this hour, then you just kind of drop me along
the
way.
Yeah, every time I cash one of them, I think of you, Darren.
I'm sure you do.
You're always
well,
on my
a lot of things. That'd make a great country song, by the way. A couple of things I want to get to the opening segment, and we're going to talk about the Four Winds Invitational again coming up at Blackthorn next week, believe it or not. It's tournament week coming up for Tim at Blackthorn, so we'll get to all those details coming up in a couple of moments. But I saw this story last week, and now that we're back together after John took a week off last week, I want to get to you guys' opinions about, you guys are trying to grow the game of golf, the PGA Tour being on television, in a way, obviously, helps you guys because it keeps people interested in golf. Maybe it gets people to want to go out and play golf a little more. But the PGA Tour is looking to change things up. Now, I don't know how big of fans you guys are of the FedEx Cup playoffs that were developed probably, what, 7 or 8 years ago. It's kind of in a time of the year where there's a lot going on, college football, NFL. So the four-week event, the PGA Tour is thinking about moving it away from Labor Day to get it away from football and maybe baseball, pennant races, those type of things. So this gets a little complicated, and one of the options would be to possibly move the PGA Championship into the FedEx Cup and then leave the weeks where they are, or take the PGA Championship and move it to May, and all of a sudden it becomes the second major rather than the fourth major. Now, the problem is when you do that, then there's complications with the Players' Championship, which is played in May, used to be played in April, and it's kind of the fifth major, so I don't think they want to put those two close together, so they're thinking moving the Players' Championship back to March. So with all that being said, is this a big deal? Is this something that would help grow the game of golf, moving these things around? Just kind of want to get your impressions on any type of impact this possible move might have.
Well, I think it's a valid point that once you get into the football season, nobody is watching golf. I mean, the fall golf schedule, unless there's a Ryder Cup or, I mean, even the President's Cup doesn't have a ton of viewership. So I totally understand that. But it seems like cramming all that golf into one has become too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, where it's just boom, boom, boom right after another, and then people kind of get worn out by too much golf, where instead of having the anticipation of spreading out between Augusta and the U.S. Open and the British, and so I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good talking point. But I think every professional sport, correct me if I'm wrong, is struggling with viewership because of the different ways to watch. You know, the NFL, I think, has viewership down. Yeah. So I think it's a challenge for every professional sports league on how to increase viewership.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with growing the game, though. I don't think the impact on... No, I think it's just all about TV ratings and growing the PGA Tour's bank account, and which is fine, you know. I don't know. I don't know what the implications are weather-wise in March. I know it's Florida, but from a growth on the fairways normally have to be overseeded, as well as the roughs with... ryegrass, the Bermuda goes dormant certain times of the year. So I don't know if that's the reason they moved it from March to May anyway, from an agronomic standpoint. But I'm not so sure the PGA championship is not viewed as well as the others because of football, because normally it's done before football season, isn't it? I mean, it's mid-August, or am I wrong?
Right.
I don't think it has. I think has to do with its. I don't think people think much of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the explanation is. We talked about it last fall. You know, they do rotate venues, but they do for the U.S. Open, too. It's always the strongest field. But for some reason, I don't, maybe it is time of year, but people just don't seem to get very excited about it.
Yeah. You know what's funny? You talk about the line in the pockets of the PGA. You're talking about the PGA of America?
No, the PGA Tour. Okay. Because the PGA of America benefits, I know, from the PGA Championship, but the viewership TV overall, I think, is a tour issue.
Yeah, good point.
Yep, good point, yeah.
I don't know if I have a reason to back up my statement, but I think the PGA Championship is way below the other three. And the best thing I can come up with, I mean, they do at times play kind of the same courses as the U.S. Open. Every once in a while, there's a course that kind of pops up, like Whistling Straits. Mm-hmm. But even though it's the better field, it's just late in the year. It doesn't have the pizzazz of Augusta because of the golf course. The U.S. Open has the prestige because it's our national championship. I think people like the Open Championship because it's different than anything we watch the entire year. So it's a different type of golf, links golf. So the PGA Championship is just, it doesn't have something that sets itself away from everything else. I mean, they had this really big Wanamaker trophy, but that's not going to get people to tune into the golf tournament. I just think it's the time of the year where people are really getting into football. The baseball pennant races will be in, you know, full steam. I mean, John, you'll be watching the Reds battling for first place here in August. So I just think it's a tough spot. I'm wondering this, and to build on what Tim was talking about, let's say you move the PGA Championship to May. You've got Augusta in early April, and you have the PGA in May, the U.S. Open, always Father's Day weekend, middle of June, and the Open Championship is, if I'm not mistaken, like second, third week in July.
It is.
With the way these guys prepare today compared to 40 years ago, I wonder if that is possible, because so many of the guys want to take a couple of weeks off before a major championship, work on their game. Guys, I don't know if they can do that as easily if you stack those four majors one after the other. Now, it really shouldn't be the reason why that you move stuff around, but I just wonder if the guys would not be overly thrilled about that, because then you have to really bunch in a lot of work in a four-month time period. And honestly, for the game, I don't know if it's good to stack the four, because then nobody plays probably after the Open Championship. I mean, what is really the incentive? I know there's the playoff, but I know the guys want to make it, but there just isn't a lot of pizzazz surrounding the FedEx playoff. I just think the season ends at the Open Championship if you move the PGA from August.
I think there's some truth to that. I mean, I don't know. I think this is all this stuff that we're talking about right now, I think, is, like John said, is important viewership.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we need some exciting golf.
Exactly.
I mean, this has been a boring year in golf, in my opinion.
Yep.
I watched the tournament last week. That's the first time I really watched some golf. It was a little bit exciting coming down at the end with John Rahm and you know, Spieth had a chance there at the end. But that was the first time I've watched really much golf since the Masters. So we need something to energize the game and get these, you know, good players playing good and get some head-to-head competitions. And, you know, you haven't seen it come down with Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day coming down to the wire in any events, you know?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that it's going to impact, if you move the PGA Championship to May, some of the tournaments before and after that particular one, as well as in March, before and after, are going to lose players, which in turn means they're going to lose sponsors. You know, people willing to underwrite those events because they know that some headline or a few headline players are going to be there. I think you're going to really diminish those types of events to the point. So I know it's like there's 100 things at work here, and the tour has to decide, you know, what's the most important. But and in their mind, it's TV viewership. So I can guarantee you all the work that's being done is what type of impact would this have on the overall ratings for golf in a season if we go to this format versus that format.
If they move the playoff to after the Open in July, then no one watches any golf in August and September. So I don't see how this move is going to help that much. I think you just have to do the playoffs in August while the preseason NFL season is going on, and just kind of live with it. I don't see how this helps anything, and honestly, I don't think moving the Players' Championship back to March is a good idea. I just remember so many bad weather days down at Sawgrass, but I just think it's going to really hurt that tournament, which is basically the fifth major.
Mm-hmm. I think that they probably, and I don't know this, I would guess the Players' Championship may have greater ratings than the PGA Championship.
It might.
And that could be time of year for the PGA, but I think if they were head-to-head, I think the Players' Championship, it's a more exciting event due to the venue, and everybody knows that course. It's not unlike the Augusta situation, where one of the advantages of Augusta is everybody knows every hole in Augusta because they've watched it forever. And I think they're the same way with TPC Sawgrass. I think here's my solution. Drop the PGA Championship as a major and make the TPC or the Players Championship a major.
Oh,
there you go. Wow. Don't have five.
Or could you go?
The express written.
I was just going to say.
Exactly. John Foster alone.
Well, no, don't have five. I mean, I think that diminishes the value of a major if you have, you know, if you have eight majors, big deal. But I don't know.
Well, I will agree with Tim that it's not been an overly exciting PGA Tour season outside of the Masters, which was a cool story with Sergio finally breaking through, winning the Masters. That was fun. I really can't name anything overly exciting that has happened this year. Now, you had Kevin Kisner, who's a really good player that people don't know about, won Colonial last week. Steve lost by a shot. John Rahm lost by a shot. But nothing really happened in that particular event that's going to stand out. It has been kind of a rotten year. You need kind of the big golfers to come through. I did notice yesterday, or I should say it would have been Thursday's first round of the Memorial, I had ESPN on at the hotel, and what did they show? They showed a couple of highlights from that. The first thing they showed had nothing to do with really the leaders or the possible outcome of the golf tournament. They were showing Jason Day's new shoes that had kind of a Cleveland Cavaliers theme to it.
Really brought
so
in luck,
they showed that
didn't
for
it?
A little bit. Yeah, and so I think he shot three over. So he was the lead.
No, I think he was five over. Yeah.
Was it like, okay,
oh, yeah,
he made a bunker shot on 18,
yeah,
and they showed that. And then they showed Dustin Johnson's 414-yard drive on a par four, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So it just kind of shows you they were really fighting to put together some highlights, even a show in a one-minute window on their premier show, SportsCenter. Now, I don't know what you can do. It's just one of those things that I think they're trying too hard to try to fix viewership. And you know what? As one of you guys just said, if the NFL is having trouble, then I think you probably should take a step back, but everybody's having problems right now.
Yeah, and everybody wants parity in sports, but I don't think it's a good thing for golf. I think you need a number of dominant players, and that's not happening. And there's just so many good players out there, and nobody's coming to the fore. And also, the successful players with the endorsements and things play in so few tournaments anymore, too, that that's bound to impact the popularity of people watching golf, not necessarily the popularity of golf. So the whole dynamic has changed, and I just think it is what it is, and TV viewership of sports is down overall. The PGA, obviously, is subject to that as well. So maybe they need to recalibrate what the ratings should be versus where they're at. And maybe they're a little bit overly optimistic on what they can draw from traditional TV viewers versus, you know, the new types of streaming video and other things in which you can get your sports. So,
which leads me to two things, what you just said. Number one, the PGA Tour was in its prime when Tiger Woods was dominating.
Yes.
People tuned in. And number two, maybe this is a sign of the PGA Tour preparing for life without Tiger Woods.
I don't think they have any choice. I mean, they can't make a dominant player. and you got Dustin Johnson who...
Yeah, dominant.
What's dominant? I guess the difference is what dominant means now versus what Tiger was with
That's
dominant.
True.
You know,
we won't see that ever again.
No, I don't think there's any way.
No. There's no way.
Unless Tim decides to go on tour,
that's right.
We're not going to see that type of domination. So,
this is the time to play Tim, John, because he's been so hard at work on the Florence Invitational. Maybe we can get within 15 shots of him right now.
He could work three jobs and I couldn't beat him. So, there. Not that that's ever going to happen, by the way.
Only if that was true.
Well, golf show presented by Blackthorn, Notre Dame Warren, John Foster, Tim Firestone, Darren Pritchard. Any thoughts on what we saw this week? The video of Tiger Woods getting arrested, the DUI, although alcohol is not involved, looks like it's prescription drugs. it's just a fallen star that continues to fall, and there never seems to be a positive story involving Tiger Woods anymore.
No, and I think like everybody, when you hear these things, everybody wants to immediately react and jump on the story. Well, of course he was drunk. You know, why is a guy worth $600 million driving his car at 3 o'clock in the morning? Where was he going? Was he hooking up with a girl? Didn't want the Uber driver to know where he was going? You get, you know, all these things everybody speculates on and gets out there. But when you step back and you got all the facts and you realize, you know, there was no alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the mugshot, and it just almost is heartbreaking in a sense that as famous as these guys are, and as rich as these guys are, and as good as these guys are, you kind of put it in the same category with Michael Jackson and Prince in a way,
mm-hmm.
where I think it becomes overwhelming. And are they, you know, these prescription drugs to just escape reality or whatever else? You think to yourself, why in the world, you know, are these guys in such pain? But that's clearly not physical pain, but emotional pain. I don't think this is about his back pain. This, to me, seems more of a, these drugs, and maybe it was just mixing the wrong, you know, stuff, but
I think it's a reflection on, I mean, that happens in any town in America. You know, you hear
good point.
Some person overdosing, it's like, why? They're from a, you know, wealthy family, they had everything. I'm not so sure it's tied to that, but, you know, I'm more than willing to criticize his golf game or his golf swing and the stuff that we normally do here. But when it comes to his personal life, I just soon stay out of it. I'm also a believer in karma, too, so I'm not going to say anything about this arrest or anything else. You just never know. So I feel sorry for the guy like Tim.
Well, I feel like that when you mix something like that, and obviously things can go bad, for all the people saying, well, he should have taken an Uber, I don't know if he was of the mindset to think of something like that. When you watch the video of the arrest, I mean...
And I'm sorry, Tiger Woods is not getting in an Uber. So that, what, the Uber guy's going to call the Inquirer and say, I just dropped Tiger off at the Denny's waitress's house? He's not getting an Uber, ever. If you're that famous, you can't get an Uber. So that's not an argument. I don't ever want to hear that again from anybody.
But I think just the point is, it was more about, I don't think he had the ability to make that decision.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think he was just in a state where he didn't have any idea of reality.
No, he had no judgment at that point. If he was to that point, you can't expect someone to make a rational decision if they're under the influence to that degree. Those two don't go together.
You can tell when someone is acting, and that did not seem like an acting job.
Why would he?
During that video.
I don't know why he'd want to act like that. But yeah.
I mean, yeah, really, it would make the situation worse.
No. I mean, I think there's some salvation that he wasn't drinking, in my opinion, at least. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a public eye.
That's true.
You know, he just was... I think this was a similar state he was in when he got in trouble with his wife, wasn't it? They said he was like kind of out of it and dazed and sleepwalking or whatever he was doing.
Getting hit with a golf club. Same state of mind, different cause.
Oh, poor guy.
Too bad.
Well, and I just think back to the Sports Illustrated article, wasn't it a year ago? When I think after reading that article, you got the sense that sometimes basic things in life he doesn't make good decisions with just because of his upbringing. And when he was so focused on golf, we talked at the time, did he have a childhood? He almost seems like a child now trying to enjoy things as someone in his 40s. So it's just been kind of a never-ending cycle. I mean, to think where he was, even in 2008, tears the ACL, still wins the U.S. Open in a playoff, and what has happened since then, I don't think the greatest screenwriter in Hollywood could have made up this story.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I agree.
So if this was a 30 for 30 on ESPN on Tiger Woods, is this the last segment?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Or is there another?
Oh, there will
We'll be back with
there
the conclusion of Tiger Woods.
Tim, until he says, I'm retiring from golf, I don't think we can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe send us up for this massive comeback. Who knows? Then it'd be the best golf story ever. And he comes back and wins. Yeah. I mean, if the guy wins, like, think about it. If he comes back and wins two more majors and wins a few more tournaments, it'd be the story of golf of all time. Don't you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I don't think it can happen. But,
but is obviously, I think we all know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think the story's done at this point, but again, until he retires, I guess we'll just continue to see what happens. Real quick, since you mentioned the Colonial last week, Tim, you watched a lot of that golf tournament. You guys have had a chance to watch John Rahm a little bit. Came out of Arizona State. He's a Spaniard. A lot of excitement around him. I mean, he has been truly competitive throughout the season. Kind of your impressions of his game and where he could be going in the next couple of years.
Well, think about this for a minute. We're right in, this week finished up the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
With Oklahoma winning the national championship. John Rahm last year was playing in the national championship the college level, and now look what he's doing on the PGA Tour. I mean, the guy is a freak of nature. He's got as much talent as anybody on the tour. He hits it as far as anybody. Good short game. But I think the guy's got all kinds of upside.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to have Tim Mickelson quit his job, basically, to become his agent. He must really believe in him. And Tim's a pretty good judge of talent. He's been coaching for a long time, and he would know it when he sees it. I think he's got a bit of an anger issue that he might have to overcome. I mean, you like some of that fieriness, but I noticed on Thursday there were a few times when it kind of got out of control, and it threw him off his game. But if that's his only fault, I mean, that's fixable. He's by far the most promising young player, I would say.
John, how does he take the club back so short and generate that much club?
What it is the angle. When he hits the ball, the shaft lean is crazy. So his effective loft is so low, yet his launch is high, which is a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. It shows you what his the club head speed and the ball speed off the club head is scary. You're right, Tim. I mean, it just shows you what you do at the top really isn't that important necessarily if you're in the right position at impact.
Yeah.
And he's strong enough. I mean, he generates so much club head speed from upper body rotation, too. In the old days, it used to be arm swing. Nowadays, it's the inertia or the momentum that's built up by rotating the upper body. And the arms are kind of in line with that as opposed to swinging independently. So, I mean, he's got a... It's a weird golf swing, but I'd call it a modern golf swing in the way he generates club head speed versus the traditional ways that we all do it.
And Tim, finally, after watching Colonial, do you feel like Jordan Spieth's heading in the right direction with the U.S. Open just a few days away?
Yeah, I think so. He seems to be getting goofier to me.
Yeah,
like he's like talking to his clubs. He's like he's just talking to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree.
You saw some of that in the past where you're talking to his caddy a lot, but now it's like
it was considered
like,
charming before, and now it's just weird.
Like, what's wrong with you, dude? Just like, go play. Yeah, obviously he's playing better, putting better, all those types. And he had a chance to win. He had a chance to get into a playoff. He played really well on the last day. So he'll figure it out. He's too talented and he's too good of a putter. He'll figure it out.
The Golf Show, Tim Firestone, John Foster, Darren Pritchett, brought to you by Blackthorn and Notre Dame's Warren. When we come back, we'll talk about the Four Winds Invitational next week at Blackthorn. A little later, we'll spend a couple of moments on the Notre Dame Golf Program. There are changes coming to that program. We'll get coming up as the Golf Show continues on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Welcome back to the Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett, traveling with the South Bend Cubs. Back at our WSBT studios, John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn. Our program brought to you by Notre Dame's Warren and Blackthorn. Blackthorn will be hopping with professional golf next week. The 6th annual Four Winds Invitational activities throughout the week. The actual golf tournament begins on Friday, June 9th, second round on Saturday, the 10th, and the final round Sunday, the 11th. So, Tim, obviously with Martin Supermarket taking care of admission, people can come out for free for the golf tournament. And when they get out to Blackthorn, obviously most of the people that are going to be coming out have played Blackthorn. When they see the golf course, how different is it going to be with the way the Symetra Tour sets it up? Is there any type of subtle differences that people might notice?
No, other than the fact that we flip-flop the nines, so the ninth hole becomes the 18th hole. But nothing crazy. I mean, they don't beat up on these girls with hole locations and the rough we mow on Monday and then we don't mow it again. That might change this year. I mean, as John can attest, the rough is growing like crazy, and it is thick. Yeah. This is as thick and as lush of the rough that these girls will ever have seen at Blackthorn. That's for sure. The golf course is in spectacular shape. I think from a timing issue, with us moving it up a week, the golf course is in a lot better condition, and we've had great weather. And it looks, the forecast, knock on wood, looks to be great next week. So, course will be firm, fast, and with some luscious rough, so I would anticipate it being a good challenge for these young ladies.
Ken, how will the greens be set up?
Well, they typically like to keep them 10, 10 and a half. They don't want to get them too crazy. And at Blackthorn, you got to be careful with doing that anyway. So it'll be 10, 10 and a half. They'll be a fast. I mean, they're double cut and rolled every day. They'll be a challenge. So I think a lot of people that play in the pro-am get a kick out of that, of seeing black, because we don't keep the greens anywhere near that on a daily basis. We'd have 6-hour rounds. So it's fun for people to see how the golf course could be played when we really cut them down and roll them and try to make them quick. So but it'll be, you know, it'll be challenging but fair, I think, is how this tour likes to set up the golf courses.
So let me ask both of you this question, since your experience with golf tournaments. For the average fan, maybe that's never been to a golf tournament, can you offer some suggestions on maybe holes to sit at that they might enjoy watching players come through? I'm just trying to look for ideas other than maybe following a group you might be interested in around the golf course. What might be a couple of holes at Blackthorn or an area of the golf course that you feel like might be a good spot for people to come out and enjoy watching their first golf tournament?
Well, I think from past years, the our 18th hole, the tournament 9 hole, is where a lot of the people seem to congregate. And there's a nice, you know, banking there where you can oversee that green. Some of the players go for the par 5 and 2, so there's a little bit of excitement. It's not too far from the main entrance. So that seems to gather a lot of people there. And then on the 18th hole as well, where we have our skybox, a lot of people kind of gather around that hole there as well.
I was out there last year, Tim, and you and I were at what is currently 16, what would be 7. And it's one of the par 3s where the viewing area, which is the cart path behind it, you're right on top of the green.
Yeah.
So you can see the shot coming right at you. It's, you know, on the par 3, and then you can reach out and touch the players as far as that goes. It's about as close and as good a view as you can get out there. And par 3s, traditionally, I know the USGA, part of their deal, they always set grandstands around par 3s because those always seem to be one of the more popular things to do because you see every shot of the hole.
Yep, good point.
That would be my recommendation.
I know people don't mind walking. This is kind of one of my favorite spots if I'm going to want to watch the golf tournament next weekend. And I'll just go by the way people play it at Blackthorn. I would enjoy being behind the green on 2 and then watch the par 3 third, because you get the par 4,
yeah,
the short.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And you can see players go for maybe an aggressive shot with the driver on the par 4. You see them lay up, but you see all the shots really, really easy. And there's going to be some short approach shots, so you're probably going to see some shots close and some birdies on the par 4 second. And then it's what? 20 steps to go over the third tee, and then you've got the tee shot, and you can watch the putts pretty easily from back there. So I know it's probably a good walk, but I really like number 2 and number 3 as an area for people to watch.
I'll put a chair out there for you, buddy, all right, with your name on it.
Really?
Yeah. VIP viewing.
Wait a minute. In years past, I got a golf cart. Now I'm reduced to a chair?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We'll get you a cart. I forgot about that.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'll take a chair. It's a really, really good spot out there.
Pool, pond.
So, Tim, is you, anything. I'm not, you know what, I'm not a diva.
Just
I'll take anything you give me.
Players or caddies, okay?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know if I ever told this story. I got
to
tell this.
Yeah, you have to. Oh, yeah. Okay. No. Oh, you told me.
So, this is the first year of the Four Winds Invitational, year one. And on the our number 1, tournament 10, I'm out driving around, and this young lady hits one left on the first, our number 10. Looking for the ball. I'm trying to help find the ball, which is perfectly legal, and we can't find it. So says, okay, you got to go back to the tee. Well, on TV, if you're a rules official, I mean, it's common to see a rules official drive a player back to the tee so they can hit the shot and then drive them back up to the fairway, back to their bag, so it helps with speed of
play. Right.
Well, I did that thinking, I'm the tournament director. I, you know, am running this whole thing, and why wouldn't I be able to give this player a ride back? Not so fast, my friends. The player was assessed a two-shot penalty and missed the cut by one shot.
Oh, no.
I felt so bad. I couldn't believe it. I argued with the, you know, the LPGA,
blame you. That's
and they're like,
goofy rule.
These players know the rules, I'm like, come on. I'm the tournament director. I told her to get into the
She
car.
Was not gaining a competitive advantage.
Yeah, what did she get? Because
you'd been there as a rules official, you would have taken her back there. So that's the type of thing that drives people crazy about the rules of golf.
And Tim, if you would have taken a vote of every player in the tournament, they would have voted the same way.
Absolutely.
That it was perfectly fine for that to happen because it keeps the pace up. And you know what? That's what it's all about. They get yelled at all the time about playing slow.
Exactly.
So here's a situation where you're actually trying to keep pace and you get penalized for it. Forget about it. Come on. Has that person been back?
I tried to block her name out of my memory just because I felt so horrible about probably ruined her career.
Check out her Facebook page. I bet we got some interesting comments about
the tournament director. I apologized to her. She was very sweet. She was, no, it was my fault. I knew. I didn't think about it, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, sorry to digress on that, but I thought that was an interesting story to share with
That's a great story. All right. So next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Four Winds Invitational again. Admission is free thanks to Martin Supermarkets. And Tim, just other details in terms of concessions, parking, what people should expect next week.
Yeah, so parking is on the east side of the golf course off Moreau Court. Follow the signs off of Nymphs Parkway. We'll have concessions open up by the clubhouse, a couple other locations on the golf course. Admission is free. On Sunday from 10 to 2 is Kids Day, free ice cream and hot dogs. We've got all kinds of games. It's the best lineup we've had in the 6 years for kids to have all kinds of different fun activities to do. So I would really encourage all of you to, you know, take a very affordable day and come out and watch some good golf and spend the day with us on Sunday. It'll be a great time.
Tim, good luck next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Should be a lot of fun at Blackthorn. For more information, go to fourwindsinvitational.com. Coming up next, we'll spend a couple of moments on local college golf as there's some changes coming to the Irish golf program. That's next as the Golf Show continues, brought to you by Blackthorn and Notre Dame's Warren on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. The Golf Show continues. I'm Darren Pritchett with the South Bend Cubs, back in our studios. John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn and tournament director for next week's Four Winds Invitational. Some college golf news. Tim mentioned earlier, Oklahoma won the men's national championship, beating Oregon in the national championship. And locally, the Fighting Irish golf program will have a new head coach for the first time in 14 years. Jim Kabinski did not have his contract renewed. So, I guess, John, you've been around this program for a good amount of time. Can you offer a couple of characteristics you think the Irish might be looking for in their new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think the administration just wasn't happy with the progress or lack thereof that the program is making in light of the facilities that are available and the resources that are available to both golf programs. So I think that I'm not putting words in their mouth because I'm not directly involved in the search. I'm just kind of consulting, I guess is the best word.
Sure.
They're looking for energy, and that seems to be overused, but we really have a group of kids that are just dying to be motivated. I know that sounds crazy, but I think they're looking for somebody that can inject energy in here that knows the northern climate and what it's like to try to coach a golf team in the north, as well as recruiting to a northern school. Now, we've got a lot of advantages over other northern schools given our indoor facility as well as the golf course itself, but you're still at the mercy of the weather to some degree. Now, I think the myth that you can't win in the north has been dispelled by Mike Small's performance at Illinois, They were there again this year, you know, in the final eight or so.
Final four, yeah.
Yeah, oh, final four, rather. Yeah. You know, a few years ago, Minnesota won. Michigan State's very competitive.
Well, Oregon's not any.
That's a really good point.
Climate,
the weather's not really good in Oregon. So I think the weather thing, it's a challenge, but it's not an excuse. And I think the biggest challenge to the golf coach at Notre Dame is probably from an admission standpoint. And the standards of our admissions are so high, especially in the area of golf, that, you know, in the old days, I think, well, the kid's got a 3.8 and, you know, he's 1280 to 1300 on the SAT. Well, that ain't good enough. And now, granted, a lot of golfers are very good students, but the standards are so high, that may be the biggest challenge rather than the cold weather. And so as we're interviewing candidates, it's critical that we make clear to them the challenges that are there. Because I think, I know. Yeah, it's hard. Well, if you've been at South Alabama, you've not witnessed this before. And there's a lot of schools, even schools that you would think are in our very good academic schools, they make provisions for student athletes, especially in the area of golf. And that's not going to happen here. So there's a lot of unique challenges, but the good news is, we've got one of the top three golf facilities, collegiate facilities in the country. The golf course is spectacular, and all the coaches around the country love it. The kids love it. So there's a lot of positives too. And then you got the Notre Dame draw as well.
Yep. So, John, let me just ask this point blank. What are realistic expectations for this program every year? What should be the standard in your opinion? Is it a program that should make the tournament every year and then see what happens from there?
I don't know that you make it every year, but I think, you know, whereas we've kind of resided in the 100th spot in the country as far as ranking goes, we should at least be top 50. And I don't see why we couldn't be top 20 to 40, maybe 2 out of 3 years making the regionals. That's John Foster's opinion. I'm sure that's not the standard they're necessarily imposing on whomever the new coach will be, but something along that line is not unachievable.
You would think recruiting at Notre Dame, I understand the high, you know, the toughness of getting in and the high expectations of the student athlete. But let's be honest. I mean, Notre Dame's had one guy that's ever played in the PGA Tour event that we just talked about.
Exactly.
So, and most guys that play college golf aren't going to play on the, so why would they not be getting a lot of good guys? Come get your education. You're going to make, how about the kid that was it from Stanford? Chose maybe not to go play professional golf because he was going to be like a hedge fund.
Exactly. That's right.
I forget the young man's name, but his upside in income and earnings was potentially higher.
Tim brings that up. Here's an interesting thing that happens at Notre Dame is that you get these kids in, and you know they're aspirational. They're going to play on tour or whatever. And by their junior year, they understand, I'm probably not going to play on tour. Not that they quit, but they get internships on Wall Street their junior and senior season. Don't pick up a golf club between May and when they come back to school.
Your senior season.
And we've had that happen so many times that because we demand that the players, we suggest that the players plan as many events as possible during the summer. And we track that. We encourage them to play. I mean, upwards of 8 to 10 events we expect them to play. Well, these guys, seriously, and they're really good players. Maybe your number one and number two players realizes,
they know, what are they doing?
Can you blame them?
Yeah, I'm going to go,
So that's another challenge that it's really hard to explain to prospective coaches.
Sure. And, John, we have about 30 seconds. What do you think the time frame is before a new coach is announced publicly?
I honestly, Darren, I don't know. I know the sooner the better because there's a lot of recruits out there kind of hanging in the balance right now who really don't know where the university stands. And then the flip side of that is you don't want to offer recruits during this period because the coach coming in may not want that recruit. So it's kind of a catch-22. So I think sooner the better, and I think that's the timetable the AD's on at this point.
Okay. Opening right now for Notre Dame golf to be continued in the very near future. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming up at Notre Dame's Warren and Blackthorn as the golf show continues on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. We wrap up the golf show by telling you what's coming up. I think we have an idea what's coming up at Blackthorn, but Tim, take it away.
Well, yeah, it's golf course is open until tomorrow night at 4 o'clock, so come on out today and tomorrow. Of course, like I said, it's in great shape. Black card sales are still available. And a tournament next week coming up. Can't wait. A lot of different events. Daddy-daughter Pro-Am, 5K, Family Day. Go to 4WinsInvitational.com for all the schedule of events. And then, of course, we'll reopen on Monday, June 12th. And, again, should be in great shape. Come on out.
So then Sunday at 4 o'clock, we probably should encourage people to go to Notre Dame's Lord.
Yeah, that was going to be my message. You know, Timmy's closed. Come see us. We're not open on Mondays due to maintenance, but the other days we're wide open. No outings coming up, so come see us.
And the phone number is?
631-GOLF.
631-GOLF. Guys, enjoyed it. Tim, good luck next week. We'll talk to you during the 4-Winds Invitational.
Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, Darren.
This has been the Golf Show presented by Blackthorn and Notre Dame Born on WSBT South Bend.